In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to The Drive here on 96.5 The Fan FM. Phone line 913-586-7965. That's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Remember, use the new text line now. It's 913-586-7965. Jay Binkley in for CDOT for the next couple of days. He'll be back on Monday. We had a nice preseason game. Well, it's not that nice, but it's tomorrow night. Chris Kleiman, head football coach, Kansas State University, will join us in the next segment, of course. As always, producer Rob Britton and a little pizza every once in a while. Or every day.
Pizza time on The Drive, Bink. Dial me up right now. 913-586-7695. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they've taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, Bink, plus unique wine. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie, or maybe it's a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
And the phone number is actually 7965. Right, Rob? Yeah, because I think you had said 7695.
586-7965.
There you go, 7965. There you go. Yeah, we're good now on that with the new phone line. It's absolutely perfect, but it's tough to get used to. I guess I did an FM show last week, so I was used to it. I did the final 610 sports radio show as well, Rob. Don't know if you saw that or heard about that, but on the night shift, the final one was simply there. But, yeah, the new phone number, new text line as well. Only the text from the new text line come through, not the old line. So use the new line, please, at this point. And as I mentioned, Chris Kleiman's coming up in the next segments. We got college football right on the horizon. Matter of fact, we have week 0 this weekend. I can't wait. The matchups aren't that great, but I will be watching the Dublin game. Actually, I'll be watching them all, to be honest with you. Florida State and Georgia Tech from Dublin. Of course, Kansas State in that game next season. They're playing Iowa State, aren't they, over there in Dublin next year? So that's something to talk to Chris Kleiman about, the Dublin game that they're going to be in next year. But got to thinking about this. I heard... Yes, you got it right, new text line. That's what they texted. You got it right. I was thinking about Andy Reid, and I was hearing, you know, Dusty and Bob talking about Andy Reid yesterday morning. You know, the fact that Andy Reid's gone the 4 straight NFC title games in the NFC, and of course he's done that in Kansas City and then some because he did 6 in a row. But he actually made 5 NFC title games in Philadelphia. He's made 6 in Kansas City. This will be Andy Reid's 26th season. So he has coached 25 years in the National Football League. And he has made the AFC-NFC title game an astounding 11 times, which puts this at 44% of the time Andy Reid is in the AFC or NFC title game, which is absolutely ridiculous. Belichick was in it over 50% when you think about what they did. But I've heard the argument lately, is it Mahomes? Is it Andy Reid? Would Mahomes have the success without Andy Reid? I think Mahomes has success with Andy Reid, but I think the perfect combination is when they're together. And I don't – do I think another quarterback would have won here? Like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, would they have a ring if they were at the Andy Reid? Like, I truly believe that. Would they have three? I don't think they would. Because he needs Mahomes and on the field, the field general that he is, and the way he gets along with his teammates. Not saying those guys don't, but Mahomes has a rapport with his teammates. But Andy Reid and Mahomes going together, I think that's absolutely huge. And it's funny because Andy Reid's won Coach of the Year just one time. Just one time, that's it. And Stefanski of Cleveland's won it twice, which is a real joke because he got destroyed last year by a guy that should have won it, D'Amico Ryans, last year because they do the voting early, which is incredibly dumb. They had to wait till, you know, the playoffs are formulated after that. But what Andy Reid's doing is so difficult, and I don't think people realize it. To get Coach of the Year should be going to the best coach, but of course, the best coach doesn't always win. I think Belichick's won it like three times. What they're saying is you have to have a bad year and then you have to have a good year. But Andy Reid's never had that. 9-7 is his worst record back in 2014 when he didn't make the playoffs, but he's still two games over 500. He was 9-7 in 14. What derailed him was that Raiders season. The Raiders were 0-10 when they went out there and lost that game. But people ask, is it him or Mahomes? And I know the Brady question was answered a little bit when Brady goes off to Tampa and he wins a ring without Belichick. But clearly, I think it was both of them. I know Belichick's a defensive mind, but he worked well with Tom Brady. And I think that perfect mixture of those two guys being together is what got them six Super Bowl rings. Like, I do believe that because I do believe that Tom Brady needed that defense early on because that defense did carry the Patriots. The Patriots kind of transformed into several different teams. They were a defensive team. Then they went heavy offense. But they didn't win those rings when they're heavy offense. So with Randy Moss and Welker and those guys with New England, they never won a ring. But they won the rings, you know, with the Troy Browns of the world, the Deion Branches, the Julian Edelmans of the world, Gronk, of course, winning those titles. But I don't look at it as Mahomes or Reid. Do you look at it that way, Rob? Can you say definitively, without Andy Reid, Mahomes would have three titles? Like, I don't think they would individually have that many titles. I think together they do, and I think it's what makes him unique.
I have never liked these, is it coach, quarterback arguments.
You need both.
I feel like they got, this idea got overplayed when it was Brady Belichick. But I think they're like peanut butter and jelly. They both are great on their own, but they need each other to be like the next level. I agree with you. If you would have given Andy Reid whatever quarterback, he would have eventually won a Super Bowl. He was not going to end his NFL career as the coach who always came up short. He was never going to. He's too smart, too always evolving. I don't know what would have happened with Alex Smith, but if you would have given him Deshaun Watson, if you would have given him Josh Allen, even pick a middle-tier quarterback, whatever name you want, a guy in between the Mahomes level and the Alex Smith level, I think eventually Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes, if he gets drafted somewhere else, is still awesome, but I think he's better because of Andy Reid, and I think Andy Reid's ceiling got higher because of Patrick Mahomes. I think they work great in unison, but I think they are still great as individuals. So I don't like these, is it the quarterback or coach conversations, and I feel like we only have these as a way to diminish the other entity.
And I'm with you on that because I've seen that lately. Like I've been seeing this debate lately, and I don't understand it. Because, hey, we can make the argument, but we'll never know because those two go hand-in-hand together. But the bottom line is that Andy Reid, well, and the bottom line is every year Mahomes has been a starter. He's at 100% making the AFC title game. Of course, that one year he didn't because he wasn't a starter. But every year he's been a starter, he's been in it. And that coincides with Reid. But Reid went five NFC title games without Mahomes. Like, he found a way to get it done. Again, 11 times in the 25 years Andy Reid has been a head coach, he's either been in the NFC or the AFC title game a whopping 44% of the time. I mean, that's getting near coin flip status if Andy Reid's going to make the AFC or NFC title game. I mean, that is ridiculous how many times that he's been there. And having Mahomes there, yeah, that's kind of the icing on the cake. But I don't know if we can have that argument. Will Mahomes eventually go on to somewhere else to finish his career? Who knows? A new coach, I'm sure, will be in here at some point at the end of Patrick Mahomes' career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Would other quarterbacks have won with Andy Reid? I think so, and I think Mahomes would have won other places. To be honest with you, I think the Ravens would have won the Super Bowl last year had Mahomes been their quarterback. I think the Buffalo Bills even could have won the Super Bowl had Mahomes been their quarterback. But it's interesting to hear because I've heard people make that debate, trying to diminish, you know, the work. And I will say this. Yeah, Mahomes had his best defense last year, and I felt like going into the season he would have his best defense, and this defense is going to be ridiculous. It didn't help Josh Allen. That whole 13-second game, it adds to the aurora of what Mahomes is. That was the number one scoring defense in the NFL. So despite the fact that he 13 seconds, he goes out there and ties the game, that was against the number one defense in the NFL. Josh Allen had that. Now, a lot of times, you know, we look at last year and think it was the defense, give all the credit to the defense, which they were amazing in the playoffs. But let's not forget, the Chiefs' offense beat the number one, the number three, and the number four scoring defenses, which that's the most important stat in football, what you're doing, how many points you're giving up rather than yards. But they beat one, three, and four. And they were on the road or a neutral site like the Super Bowl, which is insane. So, yes, you needed Mahomes and those receivers to beat the number one, three, and four scoring defenses. The only reason they didn't beat the number two scoring defense is because the one he sees every day in practice, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. So all top four scoring defenses were accounted for, and Mahomes goes and does it on the road, which I think really adds to theirs. But I don't really hear that stat being put out about Andy Reid very often, just how damn good he's been. I mean, 11 times in 25 years, 44% of the seasons he goes. Other coaches just celebrate if they even make the playoffs or get the 10 wins. Look at the Cowboys. They didn't even have to parade a couple years ago because they got the double-digit wins. But he does it each and every year, and you just expect it because but 44% of the time he's been in the AFC or NFC title game, and that is insanity considering that five of those were without Patrick Mahomes. We'll get back to this in a little bit. We'll take a timeout. Chris Kleiman, head football coach of Kansas State University, joins us live next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back, Jay Binkley here, 96.5 The Fan FM, joining us now, four-time national champion coach, and of course he's won the Big 12 as well, the head coach of Kansas State University football, Chris Kleiman. Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thanks for having me.
You ready to be on FM now? Kansas State, people can drive around and get on FM.
Absolutely. I heard we had a switch, so that's exciting.
Yeah, so Kansas State fans can definitely hear you there as well. I mentioned the four-time national champion, North Dakota State. I guess, Carson Wentz really finding his home there, working with Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's your former guy.
Yeah, I got to see him at an OTA in June, and it was great to connect with him. I hadn't seen him, talked to him a lot, but I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And so he's in a great situation. I saw he had a touchdown pass to Worthy, yeah, I think it was last week. So I think it's a great place for Carson.
Hey, how good – I know that they're moving on the SEC and the Chiefs did draft Xavier Worthy, but just how tough a dude did you think he was when you played them?
Worthy was the scariest guy in the league from the standpoint of you hated to punt the ball to him, and he hurt us in that respect. But no, he's legit. And what did he run 4.21 or something?
Yeah.
And you know, you could double him all game, but they were going to run the ball too. They had a kid named Bijan Robinson 1 year. That was a pretty good player. Everybody knows. So they had a bunch of skill, but that kid was really, really talented, really smooth, and could beat you in so many ways.
So the season starts again for you real quick here, Saturday, August 31st against UT Martin. It's just right across the corner. I always kind of wondered, Coach, you know, you look at NFL, they have the joint practices. I think the Jets practice the Giants day today, and most teams do it. I think two teams don't, the Raiders and Chiefs, but they have preseason football as well. How tough is that on college football when you don't have that preseason and you go straight into a game? I mean, how much uncertainty is that for head coaches?
Well, it's really all we know because we've never had inter-squad scrimmages or you know, doing the scrimmages like the NFL teams do. We've never had preseason. So you do go through a lot of unknowns when you get into that first week, especially with the guys that maybe have played 2 or 3 years. You're playing them next to a guy that maybe hasn't played. And it's just, you know, everybody's so afraid of getting guys injured in practice, just like they are in these preseason games. So, you know, you're not tackling to the ground as much. And so all the things that you're worried about from, you know, operations of making sure you stay on sides, you're not having false starts, to tackling, to sustaining blocks, because we go as live as you can go here, but we're not going full scrimmage every day, and very seldom do we do scrimmage. So, yeah, that's the thing that is the most kind of thing that's nerve-wracking, is you just don't know how guys are going to respond to that.
Coach, this will be your sixth year at Kansas State University. I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but players did get that extra year of eligibility, but is this the first year where it's just 100% been your guys, 100%?
Boy, I think that is correct. Well, it must be, because this is year six, and we get some six-year guys, you bet, yeah.
Okay, I thought so would be the first year of just your guys. What would you think about the new additions the Big 12 added? I mean, certainly you guys play Arizona, even though that's considered a non-conference game, but Arizona's now in the conference, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. What do you think about the ever-changing Big 12?
Well, I think it's great parity in our league. I think that there you could make a case for maybe 10 teams probably being at the top or getting a chance to play in AT&T Stadium, and maybe even more than that. I think it from top to bottom, I don't think there's any really weak teams. And I love the addition of the four corner schools with both Arizona schools, Utah, Colorado. It expands our footprint all the way to the West Coast, and we have it in the East Coast with West Virginia and UCF. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be great for fans, I believe, because we get I think we get both Arizona schools here at the Bill this year. We're going to BYU. We're going to Colorado. I think it's fun for fans.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun for fans as well. And not only that, but the expanded playoffs. In college football, a lot of more people paid attention to it last year, and I'm glad, because college football has always been such a fun product. But really having these expanded playoffs, is it 12 now? Who knows? May go to 14 before we know it. But just your thoughts on that, just more teams having an opportunity to get in.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. When we were at North Dakota State, we were part of a playoff system. Yep. And I think a couple things. The best teams typically play their best football at the end of the year. And not necessarily do they always get off to fast starts. And, you know, we had a season at North Dakota State. I think we were 3-2. After five games, and then getting on a run and finishing up at 9-2, and then winning the national championship. Well, in college, if you did FBS, if you did that, you probably would be potentially not even getting into the playoffs. And so, I think it's great. I think the home sites for those first round games will be pretty fun, especially when you're talking about really cold weather environments that could be utilized. And I think it's going to be a true champion. If you've got to go through, you know, it's 12 right now. I agree with you. It's going to go to 14 or 16 here as quickly as this contract ends, and they can do it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing how that works. And we're talking to Chris Kleiman, the head football coach of Kansas State University. It is going to be a lot of fun to watch the Big 12 this year. Your team, Coach, solid up and down. I mean, you think about last year, number two scoring defense. in the Big 12. You think about that secondary you have. I absolutely love the returning guys you have at secondary, especially Marquis Sigel, your safety. I love your safeties and the way they play. But looking at your safeties, the receivers, especially with guys like Keegan Johnson coming back, and then, of course, that dominating running game that I think it will be when you think of DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson, you seem to have all the pieces in place to have your style of football.
Well, we like what we have. You got to stay healthy for starters. That's probably the biggest thing, is to stay healthy at those places where we have pretty good depth and pretty good skill. You know, we've got some questions on the offensive line, more so from an experience factor. We lost four seniors that were really good players. We have a number of kids coming back that are seniors that you know, Hadley Panders played a lot of football for us. Carver Willis played a lot of football. Taylor Poitier's played a lot of football for us. But we're green in some spots up front. And so it's going to be a little bit of work in progress in the first few weeks, making sure that we shore up that offensive line. But I'm confident in Coach Riley. But skill-wise, we like what we have, but we got to stay healthy too.
I tell you what, Coach, there's one guy I wish would have ended up in Kansas City, Ben Sennett. I mean, it's the guy that did everything for you, man. But he's been fun to watch so far in the preseason with Washington. But, man, that had to have been a joy to coach somebody like that.
Yeah, Ben was one of the best, if not the best, tight end I've ever coached, because he could do so many things, and he was such a mismatch nightmare. And that's why I think I'm confident he's going to have success in the NFL. When you look at a guy that can come out of the backfield, can be a stationary land tight end, can flex out and get mismatched on a corner or safety, and we did all those things with him, and he caught an awful lot of balls and did a lot of things after the catch. So I'm excited. I think he's going to have a great NFL career.
Coach, final question for you. How much has NIL kind of changed the game? I know people are using the transfer portal as well a lot. It used to be the JUCOs where they'd go grab a lot of the players. But how has name, image, and likeness kind of affected you or what you guys have? I know Kansas State's doing very well on that. Oklahoma State just went to those QR codes on the back of the football helmets so people can donate to the players during games, which is a unique thing, I guess, because I have never seen that before until Oklahoma State announced that yesterday. But how's NIL been treating you?
It's been good. I've been supportive, and we have been for a while, to have the athletes get some compensation. And, you know, it's been really a positive thing here at Kansas State. I think I hired a director of roster management. I want to say it's close to 90% of our roster, and that's including walk-ons, that are getting something in name, image, and likeness. And I think that's important as well, that it's not just your top 10 or 12 guys. You know, they may get paid a little differently, but that everybody's getting an opportunity to participate in it with different activities and different services that they can do to earn that money. But it's been a positive thing for Kansas State, and I think it's been a positive thing for college football and college athletics in general. We'll see where all that stuff goes with revenue sharing that's coming out, and none of us know the rules on that, so we'll just kind of wait and see.
Do you think it's affected the JUCOs at all? Because usually, you know, teams...
Absolutely. Okay. It has. It's affected the JUCOs. It's affected the high school kids. The transfer portal has. We're trying to do some things to remedy that with a different calendar for high school kids sign in a little bit earlier before the transfer portal starts. And we still have a number of junior college guys that we still hit the junior colleges relatively hard, just because we know we're going to find some guys there. We've got some guys that are contributing for us from the JC route, and we'll still look at that. But no, it's affected all those things.
Well, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I'm a Division II guy myself. Went to Pittsburgh State. Of course, you were at FCS, North Dakota State, and you had the playoffs. And, hey, I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Always appreciate you joining us. And good luck to Kansas State this year. First game August 31st against UT Martin.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. There you go, Coach Clear Kleiman right there. Man, K-State's got a good one there, man. They do. That's why I think K-State, to be honest with you, I have them winning the Big 12 this year. I know Rob's probably on Kansas at this point. Clearly, that's the direction that he'll probably go with the Kansas Jacks. Am I not right there, Rob? You picking Kansas or Kansas State? Are you going Utah or are you going somebody else?
I have Kansas State playing each other in Dallas. If you want my honest, I have a rematch of the Sunflower Showdown down at AT&T Stadium for my actual prediction.
Well, who wins the X-ray Showdown?
Yeah, it's in Manhattan, so K-State won that. Yeah. Okay. K-State wins the first one because that one's in Manhattan and KU doesn't perform well in Manhattan. Are you down on I thought I was alone in this. I'm down on Utah this year. I don't know why everyone's buying up Utah stock.
Cam Rising's never healthy.
He's never healthy.
Never. He's been there 15 years. You know, UCF's the team that's getting no respect. Remember, they were like number two offensively in a ton of categories behind Oklahoma. I mean, UCF with Gus Malzahn, they got KJ Jefferson down there. Much different. But the one thing about Klieman and Lance Leipold, and it's the reason I really liked Kansas getting Leipold, Rob, is they're winners. You know, you think Klieman, four-time national champion when he was at North Dakota State. How many national titles Leipold have? Six at Division III?
At Whitewater, six, yeah.
So six there, four. That's 10 national titles between those two coaches. I think these schools hit a home run. Not looking for all that flash and everything else, just looking for substance. And I think Kansas State and KU have that. Coming up next, though, we'll talk about the Kansas City Royals for just a minute. But I do want to finish up about Kansas State. How much are you looking forward to, like, Avery Johnson? This defense was good last year. It's going to be – I love the secondary of Kansas State. But seriously, Dylan Edwards, you know, the Kansas – state of Kansas product, transferred portal from Colorado to K-State. Giddens had 1,000 yards rushing last year. And then you got the speed of Avery Johnson, which, to be honest with you, every time I see him play, Rob, it feels like just one shoestring tackle away from scoring a touchdown. But that is a dominant ground game for Kansas State.
I am very high on Kansas State this year. The one thing I said, and we did K-State Day earlier on the drive back in July, back when we were on 610, now we're on 96.5. New audience, they get to hear this big take.
Big difference.
Big take. Can we wait on anointing Avery Johnson? He's only, started two games, and one of the games was a bowl game where I don't think he was exceptional.
Pop-Tart Bowl.
He was, 14 of 31 in the Pop-Tart Bowl? So, I think Avery Johnson has a chance to be special, but K-State fans and a lot of the college football intelligentsia are talking about him like he's already one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. He's going to dominate UT Martin, and then let's see what happens. They got Arizona on the schedule. They got Tulane on the schedule. By week four, we will know if Avery Johnson's hype is as good as his productivity. But I want people to tamper down the hype meter because we've only seen him play one game, and they won, and he was running around making plays.
He ended up playing an eight. He played an eight because he spot a series here and there.
Popping in and having a series is different than being the quarterback.
He threw five touchdowns. Different. He had no picks. He had 56% completion.
Didn't he throw 80 total passes?
It wasn't very often. He attempted 66 passes. Now, rushing-wise, 296, average 5.7. He had seven rushing touchdowns. He's the type of guy that just can dominate a game on the ground. I mean, that's the one thing about Kansas State. They get a lead on you, they could suffocate you. With that defense and this running game, you know, by the way, their passing game, you got Keegan Johnson there. Cephas transferred in there, but I wouldn't be thinking a lot that I think it's going to be the Keegan show. But I think Kansas State's going to be a fun team to watch. And in this conference is going nowhere. That's the thing. All the stability in this conference. And I think Chris Klieman, that's why I have K-State winning this conference. Coming up next, though, we'll look at the Kansas City Royals. I heard Cody talking about the 2014 team better than this one in 24. Or excuse me, the 24 team better than 14. Guess what? The Royals in 2014 and this year have 70 and 56. 70 and 56, exact same record they had in 2014. But which team is better next?
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive. J. Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington Harrison out the next couple of days. So it's Rob and I getting you ready for Chiefs game tomorrow and then talking about the aftermath on Friday. Matt McMullen, the Kansas City Chiefs, will be in with us the 3 o'clock hour on Friday. So looking forward to talking to him and what he's seen from this team as we start looking forward to the final cuts, which will be coming up on the 27th. And always looking forward to when they used to, you know, in increments, they would make the cuts. Now it's one big cut weekend. And they'll start, you know, kind of as soon as they play their game Thursday, they'll start seeing the cuts come down. But that's, to me, always the favorite thing when the 53-man roster has kind of been assembled. All total, I love it. Rob, I haven't talked to you for a minute. How's the wedding thing working out? I mean, does it feel different?
I mean,
Same as FMAM?
It's FMAM, buddy. It's a lot. I told someone in the building the other day, I was talking to him, someone down in sales. They're like, hey, you know, how's married life? It's very different. It's a lot like engaged life without the stress of planning a wedding.
100% true. 100% true. I will say this, though. Since you just got married and you had a great wedding and reception, it was unbelievable what you guys did. But one of the topics that it was trending last week, a lot of people were discussing it. It was, do you consider them real friends if they get married during football season? Like, you clearly didn't. Your wedding was, like, perfectly timed. You couldn't get it any better than what you guys did. But I saw a lot of people making the argument, and I had talked about this at night, one night, and then the next day, JT was doing the show with me. He was producing the show, and he loves football, and he just flat out admitted he's going to his friend's wedding in October. And not only that, it's on October 5th when all those great games are. Because that was the whole impetus of the discussion before. Would you even have even dreamt about getting married in the fall?
So here's the deal. Me and my now wife were discussing dates. And I said, block out September, October, November, December. Block out March for March Madness.
Smart.
And early April. Those are now the available dates we have to look at. I also have blacked out early February for the Super Bowl. If we were going to get married like the 27th February, so it goes. But I understood the assignment as it was given, and I was not going to subject someone to making a choice between a football Saturday and my wedding, because of anyone, I'd be the one more upset sitting at the wedding being like, man, I wonder how that LSU score is.
You'd be checking your phone. You'd be the groom sitting there checking your phone. You know, all your friends would be sitting there back looking at it. Especially your wedding, which is full of 6-10 people all over the place, and we all love football and everything else. I think we would have probably migrated to the bar or something to watch a game. That crew.
I had friends at my wedding who pulled up the Sporting KC game on their phone. So I can't imagine how nuts it would have been if there was actual football on television. So yes, this was something we had discussed to make sure it was not interfering with college football Saturday.
So you blocked that out. That's perfect. I know my daughter got married the year before, but it was in June. I mean, it's perfect. You know, to me, that's wedding season. Like, you've got down before the football season, and you put those parameters right out there. Cody was talking about the 2014 Royals team being better than the 2024 team. Because you think about the playoffs, and I don't think anybody's catching the Royals, to be honest with you. I know they have a 3.5-game lead in the wild card. I know they lost last night. And a lot of times, you know, we kind of live and die by each game. But 2014, they had the exact same record on the exact same day. They were 70-56. And you got to think about that team. I mean, I like the Salvi now playing. I don't think you're getting what you got as catcher from him then. But hitting, that year he had 17 home runs. He hit .260. You have a better hitter, I do believe, in Salvador Perez now. Alcides Escobar was your shortstop. He did have hit .285 that year. Still, Bobby Witt Jr. is an upgrade over anybody on that team, to be quite honest with you. And now you're looking at the fact that your backup catcher, for me, is hitting over .300. Starting pitching? Where do you go here, Rob? I 100% go with this staff here. I would go with the big three here. Over 14.
The staff for this year is light years better than 14. Just absolute light years better. Like, that doesn't seem like much of a conversation to me. The interesting point would be how good that bullpen was in 14, but it wasn't.
That's the difference.
But I think people forget, and they forget for all the reasons you should. HDH was incredible in 14. It became the reason they were a champion in 15. I mean, Herrera's ERA that year was 1, Davis 1, Greg Holland ERA of 1. Like, they were incredible. But the rest of that bullpen was pretty blah. Like, Tim Collins was a bullpen piece that year. 3.86 ERA. Jason Frazier was okay that year. Lewis Coleman was not very good that year. Aaron Crow, I know that he was a whipping boy at the time. His ERA was not that good that year.
Forget about Michael Marriott.
The bullpen, Michael Marriott era. The bullpen is still going to favor 14 forever, but I think because of how it ended in 15, people remember the greatness of the HDH, but they forget in July. It wasn't just you can play HDH every day. You had to balance and maneuver. And Aaron Crow was a little bit of a problem at times. Lewis Coleman was a problem at times. Tim Collins had spotty appearances at times. Like, there was a reason that team traded for Jason Frazier. It wasn't because our bullpen is perfect. We need to make no changes. That bullpen on the front side was a lot similar to this year.
Yeah, and the one thing he didn't have is the amount of ribs from what they're getting, RBI. Vinny Pescantino is third in Major League Baseball with 95 driven in. Third. Bobby Witt Jr. is fifth with 92. That's two in the top five of Major League Baseball. And Salvador Perez, by the way, he's in the top 10. He's good with 85. So the Royals were the first team with over three guys with 70 ribs, the first team with over 80, and they'll soon be the first team with over 90, is both Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny have over 90 driven in. Sal Perez is close to that. He's sitting with 85 right now. So they'll be the first team over 90. They'll probably have three guys over 100 RBI that season. So offensively, and I know you had Dyson come in there and steal, but you know, Blanco's doing a good job too. He's got, what, 22 stolen bases at this point? And what, Bobby Witt's got 25? Like, Blanco comes in and he's faster than hell. I still think Bobby Witt Jr. would beat him in a 40, but you can't forget Blanco. I know he hit a couple home runs in Cincinnati and looked great, but he does have 22 steals on the year too. So he's been great. Now, but I have to, but HDH, that was something special because that made game six innings. When those guys were on, you weren't losing. But it's interesting that the exact same record that we did back then, that's when Jeremy Guthrie and James Shields. James Shields, we talked about innings pitched and how Seth Lugo leads the way. He had 227 innings pitched that year, James Shields. Guthrie had 202, so he had two pitchers over 200 innings pitched. Vargas was on that team. Of course, Yordano Ventura, and then Danny Duffy as well. Danny Duffy's ERA that year was 2.53. Yordano was 3.20. Vargas, 3.71. Guthrie was 4.13, and James Shields, 3.21. I mean, that was still a pretty salty, to be honest with you, pitching staff. You had three pitchers over 13 wins. And you had two over 14 wins with James Shields and Yordano Ventura. Interesting team, though. This team, yeah, you think about the pieces. I like the offense better, but obviously the bullpen's better in 14.
I also think one thing to note, and I'm not saying this is the most important stat in baseball, but I do think it gives you an idea of what the team is. The Royals and the Royals in 2014 had the same record. Bink, do you know what the run differential of each of those teams is? The Royals' current run differentials is like plus 107. It's over 100. They are 100 runs to the plus in run differential. The Royals in 2014, the same time, this is around the time Ned Yost started begging fans to come to the ballpark, by the way. That's neither here nor there. It was this time in 2014, the Royals' run differential was plus 30. So there is a difference of 70 runs to the better for this year's team. And again, run differential is not the end-all be-all. That's not how we determine things. But I think when we look at this year's team compared to the 2014 team, the answer for the differences and whose team was better is obvious. Circle the run differential. This year's Royals team is better than the 2014 team. It might not end the same way because the Royals team got red hot at the exact right time. And also, there's no way to predict that. But this year's team is a more talented roster and a better baseball team than the 2014 team.
I mean, they didn't have a lot of experience either. They got to the postseason and just ran it all the way. No losses until they got to the World Series. And then, of course, Mad Bum comes out there. And I've never seen a player against anybody play like Madison Bumgarner did against the Royals. To be honest with you, I haven't. Would you say he's been the best ever, both Chiefs and Royals, against them in the big games, World Series and or Super Bowl? I can't think of anybody more dominant than that.
It's him or Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning dominated the Chiefs for a long time. Like,
I'm just talking postseason.
That's okay. Postseason only?
What you've seen in Super Bowl or World Series?
Postseason only, then it's either Bumgarner or Brady, but Bumgarner probably gets the advantage there. Brady has also been a thorn in the Chiefs' side.
Yeah, he was.
Three different times with two different teams.
But Mad Bum was just different. But, Mikel Garcia, 30 stolen bases. That's pretty damn good. 22 for Blanco, 25 for Bobby Witt Jr. So it's not like this team couldn't steal bases either. Not like they couldn't steal bases. And you look back at 2014, the Kansas City Royals. The bullpen was special, though. I'll never forget, you know, six-inning games. You know, you throw in HDH, and that was it. That was the year that Hall ended up with 46 saves on the year. But that team was special. But you know what, though? This team can kind of do it all, too. They definitely have the power. I think this team has more power than that team. I think Salvador Perez is just a better hitter than it was then. Was he as good a catcher? No. I don't think so. But would you take Salvador Perez now or that back then? Would you take the better catcher or now?
I'd take now. I also think the best individual player on either of those teams is on this Royals team, and I don't think it's close. Bobby Witt's the most talented player since George Brett in Kansas City, period. So
100%.
Every player on that 2014 roster, you would take Bobby Witt over. All of them. There's not a player on the 2014 roster, position player-wise, you would say, oh, I think I'd take him or a Bobby Witt. That was really good, Eric Hosmer. Nope, Bobby Witt's better. Salvador Perez, that version, no. Omar Infante, laughable. Like, Mike Moustakas. Mike Moustakas was bad that year, by the way, so that's an easy one. Lorenzo Cain, who was really good. Nope. Bobby Witt's the best singular player on either of those two teams' roster.
Yeah, and one thing we forget is Dyson led the way with 36 stolen bases. Escobar had 31. Those were the only two over 30. Cain ended up with 28 that year. This team here, you can make the argument, it's a better stolen base team between Blanco and Mikel Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. 100%. The power, the ribs, none runs brought in. But the Kansas City Royals and run differential is ridiculous this year. Well, the Yankees, the only team better, right? I think they're the only run. They have plus 112, and the Royals at this point, plus 107. So the Royals just 5 runs different than the New York Yankees. That's impressive as hell. And you think about the Cleveland, they're plus 82, plus 66 for the Twins, and you have the Royals plus 107.
By the way, one last thing on this 14 to now. Do you know the home run leader on the 2014 team had 19? There are 3 players in this year's team with 20.
Was that Gordon?
Oh, it was Hosmer.
Was that Hosmer 19?
Yeah, they had 19 homers, and that led the team. Oh, man, 19 homers, 2014, power boom. And this year's team has, what, 3 20-plus homer guys?
Yeah.
And the season's not over. They finished the season with the best being 19. This team has another, what, 38 games of baseball left to may push someone to a 30-home run team? Yeah, that's it's one-sided, in my opinion.
And as far as home runs, the Royals are 9th in Major League Baseball with 138 home runs. So they've been putting the ball over the fence. Then the question is, what would Bobby Witt Jr. have if he was playing all of his games? Did you see this stat on if he was in Baltimore? All those games, he'd have, what, 17 more home runs? Just from where they ended up, some of them, some of the catches at the Walter K. Or if he's in New York, what it would be with Bobby Witt Jr. But yes, nobody, the 14 team did not have a Bobby Witt Jr. Lorenzo Cain in 15, like 15 was different. That Cain was, what, 3rd in MVP voting. That Lorenzo Cain was very, very good. But to be honest with you, he wasn't Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, as good as Cain was, he's not Bobby Witt. I would like to see what happens in the postseason if you get there with Bobby Witt Jr. Would he kind of rise up or stand up, or would they pitch around him? But the bad news about pitching around him is the rest of this lineup's pretty salty. Because I love what Vinny Pascantino's doing. Love that. Heck, I like the fact that Melendez is hitting better now on Renfro. Were you buying into the Blanco home run splurge?
No. You know what Blanco is?
He's still a speed guy, though.
Blanco's a good player. I don't want this to come off like an insult to Dyrone Blanco, because he's a good baseball player. But you know what Dyrone Blanco is? He's Paulo Orlando. When your team is winning and you're 70 and 50, whatever the Royals are right now, and they're in a playoff push and they're in the playoffs in the 3rd wild card and the Central's grabbable, man, you love having a fourth, fifth outfielder like Dyrone Blanco. A little pop, he can run, he can field, you don't overexpose him, he comes in, and you know when he comes in, he always makes an impact, like this lasting memory. That's what people think about with Dyrone Blanco. But if Dyrone Blanco was doing this same thing and the Royals were 56 and 106, he would not be viewed as, oh, well, at least they got Dyrone Blanco. Dyrone Blanco is popular as a product of winning, because if they were losing, he'd be playing more, and if he played more, they'd be doing more losing because he'd be overexposed. He's Paulo Orlando, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Text line's reminding us of Freddie Fermin. Yes, I mentioned that. Freddie Fermin, your backup catcher, is hitting over 300. This offense is ridiculous compared to that 2014 team. 2015 was special. This team's not going anywhere. I think J.J. Piccolo at GM He's doing all the right things. I think John Sherman, your owner, is doing all the right things that you wanted. He spent all that money on Bobby Witt Jr., locking him up. He was the only one that paid the, or well, one of the few that paid the organization throughout during COVID. He's opening up his checkbook. And I love the moves that JJ did. It kind of remembers, reminds me of the guy across the street, Brett Veach, and what he's doing. I mean, Paul DeJong, what an addition he was. And we're not even talking about Urcic at this point. Urcic's clearly the best addition that they've made. And they've got control with him until, to what, 2030? It's either 5 or 6 more years with Urcic. I can't remember exactly.
I think it's through 28. So do the math on that. I think it's 3 years in the backside.
It's Paul DeJong, by the way, is hitting .286, 3 home runs, 8 ribs with the Royals in only 11 starts since he's been a member of the Kansas City Royals. He's played in 14 games, but you know, just adding little pieces like that, and with Urcig coming in the bullpen. Now, Hunter Harvey, that's not worked out like you thought, but who knows what happens towards the end. Obviously, he's been injured at this point like he is now, but man, I love what the Royals did. They didn't sell anything off. I don't think they really sacrificed their future much. You gave up a little bit for Harvey as far as what your second-best prospect in the organization. But Paul DeJong, this team is loaded with guys that have played in the postseason. Now, I don't know how much that matters, because really Shields was the guy that had the postseason experience when he was here on that 14 team. But they're loaded with it. They've had a lot of people that have seen it. Obviously, with the Rangers and the bullpen and Cole Reagans, these guys, they've seen, you know, what winning looks like with the Texas Rangers. Paul DeJong's played in 14 postseason games, so he's been a guy that's played before. But I just love the leadership they have now. Never forget a couple years ago when Matheny joined us and, you know, was wishing the guys, you know, the young guys would step up and be leaders, because at this point it was Merrifield and Benintendi doing the talking. And then now it's Bobby Witt Jr.'s team. It's Vinny's team. You know, it's Michael Massey's team. These are the guys now that go out there and they wear it. They're the ones that wear the losing. They wear the winning. But, yes, 3.5. Do you see anybody, Rod? I mean, honestly, at this point, do you see any way the Royals are in the postseason?
No, they're a playoff team. What they do in the playoffs is the question, but they're a playoff team.
I 100% think they are. The 3.5, they're tied with Minnesota for 3.5 back of Cleveland. Of course, the Royals get a chance at both Cleveland, in Cleveland and Kansas City. And they'll play the Twins, too. But sitting over the wild card, like you look at Boston, you think of Boston, by the way, is 2 games under 500 at home. They still got the Yankees, the Mets, the Orioles on their roster. But they sit 3.5 games behind the Royals. And I don't think it's going to be Tampa sitting 6.5 back. Seattle's 6.5 back, too. And I know they brought in a Rosarena and Justin Turner during the All-Star break. They have a great pitching staff, but I don't think they can score enough runs. Boston's the only threat. I think the wild cards, I think 3 of them, 3 teams in the playoffs will be from the Central. Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City. And I think Kansas City passes Minnesota, if not wins the division. But Boston, yeah, they're lingering around 3.5 games back. Again, they're 10 games over 500 on the road, under 500 at home. Just a weird team. But Boston's the one team. But you look at their schedule, it's not favorable. Yes, the Royals are on an incredible stretch here, getting ready to start with the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's going to be a great stretch, but the Royals have proven, they're great at home, and 2, it doesn't matter who they're playing. But they just knocked the hell out of the Cincinnati Reds. And the Reds were hovering right about 500 when the Royals just hammer-jacked Cincinnati. But, of course, you're always worried about the bullpen like you had last night. But get to the postseason, things a little bit different. You can throw Lorenzen in the bullpen. Arsh can come back up and be in your bullpen, and I think things change, especially when you throw those big 3 in that first round tournament. If you're in the wild card, the three games that they play in the beginning. Coming up next, back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Who's the odd man out in the wide receiver room? And something Dave Tobe said, does this kind of change the hand of who makes wide receivers?
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.